Hey.
There.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm getting my headset on.
You ready?
Yeah, and I need to open my pop. Now I'm ready.
All right, well. Let it be. Welcome to another edition of the Long and Whiny Show. We're back after a short vacation. And next weekend's a holiday, so we might take another one. Let's get into some house cleaning. How was Jimmy Buffett? Give me your experience.
The concert was really good, but they really need some help in organizing things and getting people into the venue in a timely fashion. Because I guess this is probably the biggest crowd they've had at this new place, West Riverfront Park, right on the waterfront. Behind the post office and to the north of the Ambassador Bridge. And it was a great location for a Buffett concert. It was great. It was beautiful. It was a surprisingly good day because we were supposed to have rain all day long, and it barely rained at all. But like I said, they just need help with logistics because it took way too long to get into the place, and had no idea how to get to my seats because you come in through the back, so you have to go through the lawn to get to the reserved seating. Was very awkward, but hopefully if they continue to do concerts, hopefully they'll get the bugs out and it'll be an even more enjoyable experience.
Well, how was the crowd? Was it sold out?
I don't think so, but I'm sure they're going to say that it sold out. It was pretty well attended, but I know they had to sell stuff at a steep discount like a week or two before the show to get people in. And which is strange, because I heard the Free Press said there was a capacity of 18,000, and that's half of Comerica, so I figured they would have sold out. And it's not that much bigger than Pine Knob, because I think Pine Knob is 16,000.
So how was the crowd?
It was good. They were a good crowd. I sat up front, so I don't know what it was like on the lawn. I know from walking through the lawn that it was a terrible place to see it, because the lawn wasn't raised. It's just a field. So they haven't sculpted it out to be an actual lawn, like a hill, like with Pine Knob.
Right.
So you're basically just standing behind three sections of people. So if you could see the stage at all, you'd count yourself lucky. I think if you could see the lighting grid, you can count yourself lucky from that far back.
Well, how was he? Was he excited? What did he have to say about the new location?
Yeah, he said some nice things about it. He said it was a great location, and it was great to be playing right in downtown. And
hello, Detroit! What a beautiful evening. Always great to be back in Michigan and Detroit, downtown Detroit. Look at this. Huh? But it is great to be back here. We're working and playing, having a great time in the summer. And always great to see you guys here. This is very cool. I'm glad we're one of the first shows here, because there's going to be a lot more downtown later. Detroit's coming back, baby.
All right. Well, secondly, while we were off, it was McCartney's birthday.
Yeah.
73 years old now. And he played an extended concert in France, did 40-some songs, and one of them was the notorious Temporary Secretary. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I've noticed that he's been bringing it up to the state shows recently. He did it twice here in the States at a couple of shows. I'm just curious how he would manage to pull that one off. I thought that was kind of cool. You got anything else?
That's very unexpected. Yeah, Palladia celebrated Paul McCartney's birthday by playing Rock Show again, so you had another chance to see it. Of course, you don't have cable. That's right. You don't have cable.
I don't, but I'm sure some of our listeners do. All right. Well, now we got that out of the way. We're into 1986. And one more album. We're into your favorite, Flowers in the Dirt. But this week we're at... This album was released August 25th, 1986. Press the play. It is a very dividing album in the McCartney fan base, but I'm going to reserve my review until we get into the track list. But you've never heard it before, so... And opening the file up on your YouTube download, what'd you think when you... When you've heard the entire album at length, what'd you think?
Yeah, I was not able to get this album through any of my other sources, and of course I didn't want to buy it without listening to it first. The only place I could find the full, collector's edition or whatever they're called, the expanded edition, was on YouTube. So I listened to it from there, or I downloaded the file from YouTube so I could listen to it offline. And I owe this album an apology. I ended up liking it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm impressed, so this could be fun then.
I was actually trying to find a CD copy of it, but that's kind of tough to find too. And the MP3 stores, Amazon's MP3 store only has a 10-track version, and the iTunes store only has a 10-track version, and I want the 15-track CD version. And that's kind of tough to find. I've found a lot of references to the original Capitol edition, but I think that's got 13 tracks. And I really wanted to get the more recent 93 version with 15 tracks. And for some reason, the original version is easier to find than the remastered expanded edition.
Well, what is on the what's the extra songs on the 93 version?
Spies Like Us, which I could lose and not really care. But the final song is Once Upon a Long Ago, which I like. And I'd like to get a copy of that. So I want the full-length 15-track album, but that's tough to find.
The original original vinyl release only had... it ended after However Absurd. That was the last song on the vinyl release. Then you got three extra ones if you bought the CD version. So you've got more. You've heard more songs than I have. I have the CD version. I've had it for years.
And that's the 13-track one?
Yes. And there's an interesting on our Wikipedia page.
Wikipedia,
thank you. Kit O'Toole, blog critic, says that this belongs among McCartney's most ambitious work and that the adventurous of the project is utterly overlooked. O'Toole adds, "Press to play along with McCartney 2 arguably laid the foundation for his future musical experiments under the name The Fireman. Particularly the first two albums, Strawberry, Ocean Ship, Forest, and Rushes." So this is a very unique album. And Hugh Padgham, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Was the producer who also was involved with Peter Gabriel, Genesis, The Police. So this is a guy who was a huge producer in the 80s. And this album definitely has an 80s flair to it. And definitely a nod on some tracks to Genesis. Phil Collins ironically does play on it, as well as Pete Townsend. So, you want to get into it?
Sure.
Stranglehold, track one, what'd you think?
I liked it. And I like the saxophones, too. I didn't really take many in-depth notes, so basically my review is going to be like a thumbs up, thumbs down, because I didn't have the lyrics to refer to or the list of who's playing on the songs, so my review is going to be even more lightweight than usual.
Well, I like this song a lot, too. It's a good mid-tempo rocker. That acoustic feel at the beginning is really cool. The vocal is good. The horn section, like you mentioned, is good, or saxophones. I like the line. I think we can skip the preamble. The drums are good, and it's a very good opening track for this album to kind of start it out. And you can already tell from the very first song that this is going to be something different than your normal Paul McCartney album, and I think that's pretty cool. Track two, Good Times Coming, Feel the Sun.
I didn't really care for the song at first, just because I thought it was kind of repetitive, and it also starts with the chorus, So once you hear the chorus, it's like the song's already over. And that was true with a couple other songs on this album, where it's like, I got the point 5 seconds into the song, yet it still keeps going. But because it still keeps going, it wore me down, and I ended up liking it by the end of it.
Yeah, I kind of like that intro, and then the music kicks in. It's really catchy, and it definitely has a bit of a Genesis sound to it. The guitar solo is pretty good. The vocal is subtle, but it's really good. And then he kind of rocks right into the "Let the Sun Shine In" part.
Yeah.
That definitely has a very rocky 80s sound to it, and Paul uses his rocky voice to its full capacity. It's pretty good, and it's a good 1-2 punch at the beginning of the album. Talk More Talk. What'd you think of that?
I like this song too, but I got tired of the little commentary bits that were laid over the song.
The people talking.
And it also bugged me that they processed the voices. They made them a little slower. A couple times they made them a little faster to make them sound higher. And it was just unnecessary. It was silly and it was not unnecessary. But I liked the song itself.
Yeah. The opening with the spoken word vocal is very strange. Again, this has a Genesis feel to it. The instrumental breakdown is cool, then the song kicks in. The drum machine's a little distracting, but I still do like the song. It's definitely, it kind of just screams, yeah, 80s McCartney's here.
Yeah.
The song is very, very catchy. The vocal breakdown in the middle is cool. You can tell, like I've been saying, you can tell Paul is definitely doing something different here. And it's just really, really good. I like the song a lot. But as we said, the spoken word kind of does distract from the actual song. But still giving it a big thumbs up. I like it. Footprints.
Kind of the same as the last song. I like the song itself, but then they messed it up by adding little synthesizer sound effects to it. It's like they just couldn't stop when they were ahead. They had to keep messing around with it. So
yeah,
I guess you could say these two tracks were overproduced.
Yeah, maybe. I would agree with that. But I thought this definitely had a kind of a Beatles sound to it. It kind of reminded me a little bit of And I Love Her.
Hmm. Nice guitar work on this.
Yeah, for sure. The sounds are, the song sounds good. It's got that chilly feel to the vocal, like Winter Awake from Back to the Egg. The 2:31 mark, there's some good sounds. I don't know what the heck they were, but it's good. And like you mentioned, the song, the guitar work is really, really good. Another thumbs up. I like this album a lot. I've always liked it, so I'm a little biased, but I was hoping you'd have a little more notes this time since you never heard it. Only Love Remains.
And love is all that stays. Only love remains.
Only love remains. Only love remains.
Number 5. What did you think of this one?
Thumbs up. I really liked it.
This is like a cousin of My Love. The piano's awesome. The vocal is fantastic. It's just a great song. It's fantastic. It's probably one of his best love songs he's done in a while since we've been doing the show. It's right up there for me with Wanderlust, because I mentioned how much I love that song. This song was a single, and it should have been a big hit. I don't know why it wasn't. Good guitar. The orchestration is cool, too. I like this one a lot. So then we flipped the album over and we got Press. This was the initial single from the album.
Say one.
What'd you think of this one?
Yeah, this song is also screwed up by additional sound effects, because I really hate that panting effect that they added to it.
I gotcha.
And I remember I did hear this song at the time, and that was the reason that it drove me away from checking out this album, was I did not like that panting effect. And I'm thinking, oh, Paul's trying to be commercial, and he's just using whatever faddish thing is going on. And so I just stayed away. So here's your example. Here's your evidence that they should not have released this song as the single, because it had an adverse effect on a listener.
Yeah, it's a classic 80s pop sound to it. But what's good is it's really catchy and it sticks in your head. The drum machine, though, that kind of, like, I don't know if that's the sound you're talking about, but the drum machine gets a little tiresome. The video itself, though, it has Paul walking through some subway in England. Is it Piccadilly, or is that what it is? I thought that's what I read somewhere.
The stops shown include South Kensington, Bond Street, Green Park, and Piccadilly Circus.
There's something. He has like a jam box on his shoulder, and he's mouthing the words. It's really a strange video, but it's definitely an 80s video. Yeah, maybe this song shouldn't have been the first single, I don't know. But overall, I still like this song. I've always had a soft spot for it.
I figured they would have done Stranglehold as the single. Usually it's the first song as the single.
It should have been that, yeah. And
I think that would have attracted a lot more people than press.
Exactly.
Although, not having heard the song all the way through, I wound up liking the song. So it's another one where they just had to add little fiddly bits to it, and they didn't need to. And it ended up ruining the song. Just like the other two that I talked about.
I do like it, though. Drums on this song were played by Phil Collins. Pretty Little Head, what'd you think?
This is a weird song. But it's got a really cool sound, and I did like it, but the lyrics are really weird.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like McCartney, does it?
No.
Now, this also has a Genesis feel from start to finish. Very different for Paul, like I just said. The song's good for what it is, experimental, and, you know, Paul's doing what he wants to do. And yeah, it's just strange. It's just a little weird song. But that being said, I think it kind of works. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I give it a thumbs up.
Move Over Busker. This song has Pete Townsend playing electric guitar on it. What'd you think?
I thought he was on Angry, or did he do both?
He's on both.
Oh, okay. That's weird. They don't mention him on Move Over Busker. I saw him mentioned constantly on Angry, and I don't think anybody mentioned he was on Move Over Busker. Anyway, I liked the song. I thought the song was great.
Yeah, this is a good little rocker. Great vocal. It's catchy. I like the lyrics about Mae West. That was cool. Paul's using his rock voice to full effect again, and I like it too. And I'm giving this a big thumbs up too. Angry, which also has Pete Townsend, like you already mentioned, and also has Phil Collins on percussion. Yeah. What'd you think?
This was okay. It wasn't as good as I was hoping for, because I thought it was going to be like a real rocker. And it's kind of like a rocker, but there's that, for some reason, that bass that they have just keeps it from being an angry rocker and just kind of turns it into just an up-tempo song.
Yeah, this is kind of like, doesn't it sound like The Pretenders to you?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, this had, I thought this had a Pretenders sound to it, and that's kind of funny because on the next album, Flowers in the Dirt, he gets The Pretenders guitar player. Mm. And he joins his band for two albums, and of course they tour on those two albums. Again, this is very, very different from McCartney, but I think it works, and I think the guitar is cool, and that's obviously Pete. The synths are a little trippy. They kind of play out to the end. That was definitely an 80s feel. This song's all right. It's not one of the best on the album, but it's not skippable. However absurd...
I Yeah, this was an okay song too, but I think this is the one where it kind of lost its way by the end. It just got really repetitive, and they just started adding more and more stuff to it by the end. I think that's the song.
It's not very long, but...
I remember it starting off well.
Yeah, it started off great. It's got that big sound of the song. It's kind of epic, and piano comes on. It's great, and then... Paul is kind of working hard not to sound like Paul, you know. It's pretty cool. The song works for me. I like it that 159 mark, I think, where he mentions how you know, his voice kind of really stretches a little bit. It kind of pushes his voice to the limit. I thought that was cool. There's some kind of good sound at the end. I don't know what it is. It may be the sax, I'm not sure. And I mentioned here this would have been the last song on the vinyl, but the CD keeps going. And I thought this song kind of ended like a Beatles song would have ended. I thought that was kind of cool, too. I like it. Right Away is the next song on the CD release. What'd you think?
This is pretty cool. It's got a kind of drum machine rhythm to it that makes it sound like tap dancing. So it's kind of hard not to tap your feet to it. And it's got a real cool jazzy sound to it that I liked.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funky. I liked it a lot. It just starts off really great. This should have been a single. I thought this song was really catchy. When you done with the album, I think you remember this one a lot. The piano solo near the middle of the song is just great. It's a great vocal. This song is just fantastic. It's Not True is next. What'd you think of that?
It's another good song with some real heavy drums, and I also like the saxophone.
A big start to this one, yeah, with the drums, like you were saying. That's cool. Then it kicks in, and it's a more traditional-sounding Paul song. I thought it had some good bass work. Great vocal again. Very catchy. I like when he says, like you never heard of jealousy. Is Paul saying something to the critics about Linda on this? I don't know. Because he mentions it also in there, she helps me make the memories. Mm. And then he goes on to say, some people say she's a loser. What they're saying about her isn't true. Then he goes, don't you know it isn't true? And then he does his falsetto voice there. This song is really, really cool. I like that guitar riff. And I think this song really rocks out to the very end. A little bit of instrumentation there. I think it's just a really good song. This is excellent. Big thumbs up. Tough on a Tightrope. And I think... No, we don't have anybody interesting playing on this. Phil Collins did some more percussion work on It's Not True. Tough on a Tightrope, what'd you think?
I think I got too tired to take notes anymore because all I wrote was okay, so I guess I liked it.
It's another 80s pop sound to it. I think it really works, and I think Paul is just basically saying throughout the whole album, this is going to be something different, he's hoping his fans are going to stick with him to the end. Great vocal again. I like when he says, I love you in a way no one else could ever do. It's got that good 80s guitar sound in there. Let's see what else did I put here. I guess I ended with great song. I liked it a lot. I like this song a lot. So now your version kept going. What are the next songs?
Well, the next one is Spies Like Us, which is the theme song to the movie, and I'm sure you've already heard it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cute to hear again, but I don't necessarily want to own it. I basically want to get the song after it. Spies Like Us is okay. I don't really care for it. It's kind of too simple, and it's a shame that he would have had a big audience with this song since it's tied to a movie, and it's not that great a song.
It was a hit, though.
Well, yeah, just because it was tied to the movie, but it's still not that great a song.
I remember kind of thinking it was cute, but yeah, it, I don't know how I'd feel now. I haven't heard it in 20 years or so. What's the next one?
Once Upon a Long Ago, which I think he wrote for a short subject or a TV show or something. I think that's a theme song, too. And it's a big ballad, and I really like it. It's kind of like the other big ballad that's on here, Only Love Remains.
Uh-huh.
It's got a similar sound, just because it starts slow with piano or guitar or whatever he was playing, I don't remember. And then it just gets bigger and bigger, and the orchestra kicks in, and turns into a big, epic ballad, and I really liked it.
Yeah, it says violin solo by Gavin Wright. So this song's worth finding, huh?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
You can only find it on... It's definitely not on Spotify, so I have to look on YouTube, huh? Yeah, that's... I've never heard it.
I'm pretty sure it's tied to something.
Let me see if I can... Once Upon a Long Ago... Let me look it up. It was reported in a 2011 biography that the origin of this song is with the film The Princess Bride. McCartney was approached by director Rob Reiner to compose a couple of songs. Reiner rejected them as too sentimental. Paul then submitted Once Upon a Long Ago and Beautiful Night and contracted with Mark Knopfler to complete the soundtrack. These songs did not... Did it appear on those? I don't know.
No, it did.
Yeah, I don't know how I've never heard this. Oh, now I have to check it out. My interest is peaked. So you're giving it a big thumbs up?
Yes. I don't know about a big thumbs up. I guess I'd have to listen to it again. But yeah, I liked it when I first heard it.
So on a whole, what'd you think of this? Was this the dreadful album that you've heard all these years about?
No, not at all. I mean, we've already gone through worse albums than this. And it seems strange that this is the one that people, and even McCartney fans, were telling me to stay away from.
Really?
So, yeah. And so I don't know if I'd say embarrassed, but it just feels weird that this song is hardly the terrible work that I thought it was supposed to be, because we've heard much worse albums than this. I thought this was pretty good, apart from a little overproduction, and I didn't even mind the electronics, all the 80s kind of stuff, because it didn't seem that dated. There are only a couple songs that really sound 80s.
Yeah.
Most of them just sound contemporary.
Yeah, I think it's not, this album is definitely not the dreadful work that people have been talking about since it came out. It was a huge flop, and I guess... He hired a new manager after this album bombed so bad to help revive his career. And obviously we know that it worked, because Flowers in the Dirt is considered a later era McCartney masterpiece. So,
and he went back to George Martin, too, for Flowers in the Dirt.
Oh, he did? See, I didn't remember that.
On a couple tracks at least. I don't know if he's the overall producer, but I know that McCartney went back to George Martin on a few tracks.
And he started writing songs, of course, with Elvis Costello for that album. So, people always say that the Eric Stewart songwriting partnership did not work, which was this album, Press to Play. But on a whole, I like this album. It's very underrated. And I think they want to hear something totally different from Paul McCartney. I think they should check this out. It's worth a listen, if not. I'll go farther. It's worth a buy, I think.
Yeah, I would say that too. I would. I'm looking to get a copy of this.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage. Go on the iTunes store. Just pick it up.
No.
No.
Don't do that. You're only going to get 10 tracks.
Oh, they only have the 10-track version.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. Shit. Well, hunt down the YouTube copy and then try to buy a used CD of it. I imagine that sometime in the future, this is going to have to be redone again. I think, did this mark the end of his relationship with Columbia Records? I think it did, because Flowers in the Dirt is Capitol again. So, that started with his relationship with them, started with Back to the Egg, and then I think ended with this album. So that's what we're on to next, the big McCartney comeback, Flowers in the Dirt next time. And of course, the big tour was launched for that, and then, you know, the rest is history. He's never stopped touring, other than a little bit of a break there in the 90s when Linda was ill and the Beatles anthology was getting formulated and made. Flowers in the Dirt's next. We're getting closer and closer here. The year anniversary of the show is coming up in August, so that's right around the corner. All right, well, I guess that's it. Flowers in the Dirt next time. I think we'll have the next week being another long weekend. We'll resume the following weekend. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine. And we could record next Sunday. It doesn't matter.
We'll talk about it. So, McCartney, your friends that are into Paul told you to stay away from this album, huh?
Yeah.
Recently or back in the day?
Back in the day. He's the guy I went to see Trippin' the Live with.
Oh, okay.
Or the New World Tour.
Yeah.
Back when it was called that. And he's the guy that bought the videotape of the news broadcast that I was telling you about.
We
knocked the Channel 7 cameraman. We bumped his camera when he was trying to shoot Paul McCartney driving in.
Right, I remember, yeah.
He's the guy I was with, and his friends, too. And he's the guy, he's a huge McCartney fan. He's bought all the albums and 12-inches and picture discs and all this stuff, and all the singles and remixes and everything, imports, domestic. And he was telling me that he did not like Press to Play, and he told me not to listen to it. And he played Press for me, and he's the guy that pointed out the stupid effect. <Yeah. laughs> That's the panting effect that I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, oh, God, I can't believe McCartney's doing this. Oh, it's terrible. And so that was my one taste of the album, and it soured. It soured me on it, or it soured it for me.
You still talk to this guy?
No. It's unfortunate. We just kind of drifted away, and I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah. I'd like to get his input on it now.
Yeah.
30 some years later. You know.
He seemed to be drifting away from McCartney, though, when toward the end he was having second thoughts about keeping up with McCartney. Especially when he started releasing tons of CD singles for Off the Ground and stuff that followed.
Yeah, but that album is one of his best.
Yeah, and then the Fireman stuff that he'd have to keep track of, and then the classical stuff.
And there's
Paul started releasing too many things for him to keep up with.
He really had a late 80s resurgence there in creativity, and it kind of really started with this album.
Yeah.
He just really got his juices flowing again. I think with this album, it just carries over into Flowers in the Dirt, and it just, you know, goes on to all the way to Flaming Pie and up to the latest release, New. I mean, he's really been putting out some good stuff in the last 25 years. All right, well, we'll be back here next time with Flowers in the Dirt. Leave us some, we're still looking for reviews on iTunes, and email us, and Mick, tell everybody where to find us.
You can find our blog at thelongandwinyshow.com. You can email us at that blog at podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com. You can find us on Twitter, look for Long and Whiny, and on Facebook, look for Long and Whiny.
All right, that's it. Wrapping up another show, we encourage everybody to go out there and hunt down a copy of Press to Play. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we'll see you next time with Flowers in the Dirt. See you later.